This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
Wednesday morning, everybody. I am Glenn the Geek from Ocala, Florida.
And I'm Jamie Jennings from Phoenix, Arizona, with that Rolex cross-country day standing in the rain all day cold that I'm sure I'm not alone from all the people that were there. You're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network. It's May 4th, episode 1421, brought to you by Back on Track Products. Good morning, horse world.
It's Wednesday. Today is Wednesday.
He's a very mixed up horse.
Authorization acknowledged.
You know what they say about Wednesday.
Yabba-dabba-doo!
Have a good Wednesday. Thanks.
Well, good morning, everybody. Thank you for joining us. We appreciate you being here. I got to tell you right off the bat here, Jamie, I saw a survey yesterday and I thought about horsewomen and horsemen. Oh, and I was thinking, I wonder how this correlates. So it's a survey that shows what they did is they questioned people about the threshold of spending without telling your spouse. So what amount, what dollar amount will you go up to before you talk to your spouse and feel comfortable that you're not getting get in trouble? And would you like to take a guess at what it was for women and men?
Okay, well, I would like at Rolex, there was a bridle that I really wanted. It matches my Southern Stars saddle. So I wanted to get that bridle so bad, but it was really expensive. And so I had to talk to Chad about it. And so at that price, like I would say like over for women, over $100.
Actually, for women, was $350.
Jeez Louise, I'm a good wife.
Well, you know, I was thinking too, Jennifer and I, that's high for us. I mean, if probably for us, what do you say, Jennifer? It's under $200.
That's just the way that you live. Like, I wouldn't spend $350 on something without talking to my husband. Would you?
No. I would be in big trouble.
That's changed, though, Glenn.
It has changed.
That has changed.
Yeah. It has changed.
It used to be Glenn would go out and buy a car and not tell me.
Yeah, but we were dating then, not married. I don't think I ever did that after we were married. But that was just
okay. Dating. No, you did that once before we were married.
Yeah.
Before. And then, no, you did it twice. Twice.
Yeah, but I don't count before you're married. Then that doesn't count. So now get this, though. The men's threshold in the survey, men said theirs is $1,250.
I was going to say, I bet it's higher. Like, I think that Chad would buy, like, a set of golf clubs.
Which would probably be about $1,000.
Yeah. I really, like, I could see him be like, oh, yeah, I just bought this new driver. It was $800, you know, like something ridiculous. So, I wonder why that is.
I don't know, but I would, a question of the day, Jennifer put in there, up to what amount will you spend without telling your spouse? Because I want to see if horse people's are lower or higher. Now, we have to trust that they're being honest, too. But
is Chad going to read this?
Well, you know, when we had our store, I can't tell you the number of women that had their own credit cards the husband didn't know about.
Yeah, I could believe that. Oh my gosh. And you had to did you ever have to just flat lie to some man who walked in there?
No, not really, because the men never came in.
That's true.
We never saw them. But I wonder if more women have secret credit cards than men. That is an interesting question, too. In the horse world or out?
Now I got to go look into the bank record, see if Chad has a secret credit card. No.
We don't have too many. We only have a couple, one for travel, and then we have one for other things. But that's it. I mean, we don't have too many, so it's kind of easy to figure out. But anyway, I just thought that was interesting. Leads to the question of the day.
It'd be interesting to see what people say, for sure. And now I realize I'm like over-honest with my husband. I can scale things back a little bit. I could have bought that bridle.
You could have.
It's under $350.
Yeah, you're good.
So just the threshold of, excuse me, the threshold of what is expensive changes depending on where you are in your life. Like, $350 might not be expensive to somebody who makes $500,000 a
right.
year. But if you're on
you.
An Air Force salary, that becomes a lot of money.
I was going to say it also, you know, the longer you're together, it changes. But I don't think that's right. I do think you're right, because we've gone through phases where we've had more money than other times. So
yeah.
I think you're right. It's directly related to your income.
Yeah.
Or just how much you don't care about what your spouse thinks.
Yeah, that's probably true, too.
That's the
not that
one.
That would happen with us.
No, not with me. Not when you work together in the same house. It's kind of hard to go out and blow money.
Yeah, definitely. Hey, Jennifer, what's coming up on today's show?
Well, on today's Back on Track Wednesday edition, once we have taken one last look at the Rolex results, we're going to take a look at the most common vet emergencies with the Haggard Horse Health Report. And then after the break, the velvet voice of Victoria Spicer is back, and she has the European report. And then crossing the finish line with a thunderous applause, it's the Knit Posse T-shirt contest. And Debbie Metcalf is here to tell us all about it. So stay tuned for the fray, folks.
Thank you, Jennifer. Oh, wow, we haven't done a Daily Witty in so long. Well, my Daily Winnie goes out to three people who were so nice. Their names are Asia, Michael, and Max. They got done with Rolex and headed off to the Lexington Airport. And who they saw there was Michael Young. What they saw was a panicked Michael Young. And what happened was, hey, Jamie, is your phone near the mic?
No.
I'm getting a electronic sound. So what happened there was they got there and Michael, his flight had been changed and overbooked and he couldn't get on the plane.
Yeah, they just bumped him.
They bumped him. So, and his parents too, his mom and dad were there. So they bumped all three of them. Well, Michael had to get back by yesterday to be able to go in badminton to be able to win the Grand Slam.
He had to be at badminton today for the jog up.
Yeah. Or he was going to miss it altogether, and they wouldn't be able to get him on a flight. And he was.
And they told
him
the next time they could get him was there was Tuesday night,
which means he wouldn't have been there for the jog, and
or like been able to ride his horse beforehand.
Yes.
Anyway,
so
many things. This is the winner of Rolex standing at the Kentucky airport, and he gets bumped from his freaking flight. You would not bump Shaq.
Although
nobody would bump
taken
some
that
football
nice
player.
Check he got and hired a private plane, I think. But anyway, these three people from California who were there just to spectate at Rolex happened to have met Michael's parents on the cross country course just by coincidence. Well, Max actually speaks German, so he started talking to him in German and said, "Hey, look, maybe you could catch our flight to a bigger airport." They had a layover somewhere, Houston, I think. Catch our flight to a bigger airport and then get another flight out of there sooner. Well, they worked it out with a travel agent up until the last minute. They were about ready to close the door of the plane and they made the switch. They were going, actually, Michael and his parents were going down the walkway yelling back, "Do you have contact information?" Because Michael wanted to do something nice for him. And they actually wrote it down, and the flight attendant ran it down into the plane to give it to Michael so he had their contact information, and they caught a later flight. But they did that for
Unreal.
Him so he would be there, and so they get my Daily Winnie.
Absolutely. I hope they get more than that. Well, that's awesome. Here, take my flight, total stranger that just won Rolex, please, so you can go to badminton and beat the rest of the Americans.
That just goes to show when it comes to the airlines, it doesn't matter who you are.
It doesn't matter who you are. And it comes to eventers and horse people in general. I'm sorry. They're just nicer than most.
Yep. So good for them. Good job.
Well, I would like to, obviously, I'd like to send a big shout out to everybody we met. What awesome people over the weekend. I just had the best time. But then I came home, and the sheriff's department, Deputy Trombi, has dropped off some chickens at my place. And I thought she said there was like three or four hens that she wanted to drop off, you know, for because MASH is the sheriff's department. These are rescue chickens. Like somebody starved chickens. Like they took a whole farm from somebody who was mistreating them. Yeah, there's 10. there's 10 and they're like, they're rough. They're scratchy. They're pretty ugly, but they're survivors. So they spent the first couple days locked up in their little mini coop, like makeshift coop that I got for them. And I thought, well, you know, you leave them in there 3 days and they'll go back and roost in their coop. So Glenn, I let them out and then I couldn't find them last night anywhere. I mean, they're gone. And I was like, I need to lock them in the coop and because of predators and they're gone.
All 10 of them are gone?
All 10 are gone.
Oops.
So I go out there this morning and I'm like, where are the chickens? Oh, they're just walking around. Do you know where they went last night? Up in the tops of my trees. I looked up and there are chickens in the trees. We're not talking like a little tiny tree. We're talking like huge, big, tall trees. I don't know how they got up there, but those mashed chickens are survivors. My God, they must have really had to do that back where they lived. I'm sure they didn't get much, you know, attention or care. And they probably watched a bunch of friends get eaten. And they're like, this sucks. Let's get up in the trees. I mean, we're talking
smart chickens.
20 to 30 feet up in these trees. I have no idea how they got there, but
they're
good on.
You know what's going to happen? You're going to have eggs raining down from the heavens.
I know. Well, they just lay everywhere. So, like, I've been home since Sunday night.
And eggs floating in the pool.
It's Lucky is so happy. His favorite thing to do is find eggs. He's a little thief.
Oh, really? Does he eat them?
Oh, yeah. He carries them around for a while, then cracks them up, and he eats the whole thing, shell and all. He's put on at least 40 pounds since he discovered this.
He's got good protein.
He's learned how to survive, too. So I've got a bunch of survivors out here. But it's super impressive. I got a video of one of them jumping into the tree last night. So I found him 2 nights ago, and then I videoed it last night because you just can't believe that this chicken is doing that. But anyway, I'll try to post that on our Horses in the Morning Facebook page. It's pretty amazing. I was like, there's birds in the trees. They're going to like come down and get my jugular. They're like mean little chickens. They're mean.
Rescue chickens. That's what happens.
That's Sheriff's Department. She's dropping them off. And she's like, yeah, Jamie's. What have you adopted from us here? No, you got Jet. Joey, and you fostered Chloe, and you took a dog, and here's your chickens. What's next? She's like, we do have baby goats. And I was like, get off my property. Get out.
You have like Sheriff's Department West. You have like...
Well, she lives in the neighborhood. That's the problem. And she just stops by. She's like, hey, how's it going?
Chad's like, how about a pot-bellied pig?
Yeah, Chad's like, stop talking to her. Don't be friends with her. And I'm like, but she's awesome. Well, I got some chickens. Bring them over. Whatever it is. Just bring it over.
And you got the cold. I'm so sorry about that. I had the cold after Road to the Horse. You have the cold after Rolex.
I know. I'm sorry. I hope I don't sound too terrible.
You just sound like you have the cold. Half the country's had the cold. So I hope yours is shorter lived than the rest of the country's was.
Well, I feel like I have a sinus infection, so I started myself on SMZs.
There you go. Perfect.
So about 3 days in the like SMZ.
Self-diagnosing horse style.
And using equine medication.
Yes.
By the way, just take one pill. It's like one pill per 100 pounds. You know, I'm a little under, but so I'm low dosing on the SMZs. So I feel pretty confident that I'm going to be better by tomorrow.
There you go. All right. Well, speaking of tomorrow, it's a good thing because we have a special for you tomorrow. Jamie's going to be here on a Thursday. Yes, you heard that right. We are doing a special edition called Derby and History, and it's going to also end the show with the Dawn versus Jamie Derby trivia match that we do every year.
So I get embarrassing. I'm so bad at quizzes.
It's so funny because when I asked Dawn, she said, I'm not coming on. Jamie always beats me. So apparently you both have a different version of what actually happens every year.
It's because we both hate it. We're like, it's like testing. It's like taking a test in school in front of people.
And we don't want to throw Jennifer in because she'll win. she'll just win. And then you guys will both never do it again. So
never.
No. So that's tomorrow. We have a special Thursday edition. If you don't like horse racing, skip the next 2 days. Just come back.
Oh my gosh. But it's like Derby and history. We're going to play races from the history of the Derby. It's going to be so awesome.
We're going to play little bit of some past interviews that we've done with some very special people when it comes to racing. So we're looking forward to this. It's just going to be us geeking out on Derby history. Then Friday is going to be our final look at this year's Derby and our picks, and we have some guests lined up. We'll also do Really Bad Ads, and we'll have the winner of Really Bad Ads for last month, so we'll be doing all of that. So that got 3 days in a row of the whole gang together. We're not going to do much Derby today, but I did want to mention that it is the Kentucky Derby draw to see who goes in what post positions. That is live on TV tonight on NBCSN at 5:30. So that'll be live tonight. And then they do have coverage on NBCSN over the next 3 days. And then the main race on Saturday will be on NBC. So check your schedule for NBCSN because they are providing a whole lot of coverage this year. And I read an article that the ratings have been excellent. The more coverage they provide, the higher the ratings. So it looks like NBC is very happy to keep this whole show.
They're
gonna going
to start it tomorrow morning.
Yeah.
4 days leading up to it. Hey, what's really cool is actually, you know, Rachel Alexandra, my new BFF, because I hung out with her. Because I won some weird contest online and got to go meet Rachel Alexandra. Well, her daughter, Rachel's Valentina, is the morning line favorite for the Oaks at 7-2.
Oh, really? Wow.
She's running in the Oaks. How cool is that? I'm so excited.
Very cool. Very cool.
Anyway, sorry.
So now that you know her personally, you're going to have to bet on that.
Well, I talked to Rachel and I was like, so Rachel, is Valentina going to win? She was like, of course. She's my daughter. So, I mean,
you
it was like,
Rachel,
it was
which I don't think too many people get to do.
I got to feed her treats. It was really neat. I'll have those pictures soon.
Well, there's somebody else that's very happy too with NBC right now, and that's our friend Larry Colmus.
Who just
signed another 5-year contract with NBC. So he'll be calling Triple Crowns for many years to come. And everybody that listens to the show knows he's our favorite. And of course, you know, we had him on long before he became famous, right after he did that video with I'll Have Another. That was all those. It was back in 2012.
No, not all of it. He got famous because of the My Wife Knows Everything My Wife.
We had him on way back then. And I don't even know what year that was.
He was super embarrassed about it, by the way.
Yeah, he didn't really like being on with us.
But you know what? You went viral, and now you're calling the Derbies. Yep. So
it's you can thank. He's never sent us a thank you note either.
Not once.
Nope.
So we don't like him anymore. He's our least favorite. Just kidding. He's been on the show. We love him.
Well, you know, another big thing coming up this weekend is badminton in England. So, you know, we got to go from one major event here in the United States to a major event in England. And remember we talked last year about Andrew Nicholson had an accident and, you know, was out for a long time. Well, he has withdrawn from badminton. He rode three horses in a 2- and 3-star event here a week or two ago. And of course, Andrew holds the New Zealand record for badminton competitions. Get this, 35 badmintons he's been in.
What?
Yes, but he's never won. So everybody was kind of hoping he'd be there and this would be his year. Remember, he like broke his neck when he fell at Gatcombe Park last August. Well, he, you know, rode these three horses. He did very well in the lower level event, but he said that cross country was only like 6 minutes and he was exhausted after. So he says his horse is ready. He is not, and he cannot do a 12-minute course at badminton. So he has withdrawn because of his own health.
He should have started CrossFitting or something. Oh, my gosh.
He's just not ready. And, you know, when you break your neck, you know, it's kind of understandable.
Did you know Boyd Martin withdrew Master Frisky, too?
From badminton?
Yeah.
He was supposed to. What happened?
I don't know. It just says U.S. rider Boyd Martin has withdrawn Master Frisky. So there's only 3 U.S. horse rider combinations. Huh. Well, interesting.
Speaking of competitions in, you know, Canada, by the way, our thoughts and prayers to everybody in Alberta, Canada. There's a massive fire going on there that they've had to evacuate a town of 60,000. Gas station gas pumps are going up. Whole neighborhoods are engulfed in flames, and they've evacuated the whole town. Apparently, people just got the hell out because the fire is at their doorstep. And they're saying that today could be worse than yesterday because the winds have picked up again. And it's just, they did an interview, Jamie, with the fire chief. He was in tears.
He said
it's the worst thing he's ever seen. I mean, this whole town may go up, and we're talking 60,000 people. That's a good sized town. That's verging on city. So, you know, our thoughts and prayers to them. But they're also having a little problem with the, everybody knows that the WEG is supposed to be at Bromont in 2018. Well, five people from the board of directors have now been canned, or, well, they resigned from the board of directors of the WEG, and because of the lack of money and planning that has gone into it so far, the FEI has sent a delegate to Bromont, and basically they're calling it a crisis with the World Games Organizing Committee. Apparently, they're not very organized yet, and at this point, they should be mostly getting done. And I kind of know how it was because we followed that very closely with the Lexington deal. And yeah, a lot of things went at the last minute, but they were much further along than Bromont is. So they're a little concerned. The FEI is a little concerned about what's going on in Bromont right now and really does not have a fallback plan. So,
Boy.
But this happens every time. Just every WEG this happens. This is not rare. It's not new. It happens every time.
Seems like there's always something in the, and anytime there's a big organizational push for something like this, like I feel like the horse park had it all figured out, but like even for the Olympics, for the WEG, for
the horse park didn't either. There were a lot of things behind the scenes there, and what a lot of people don't realize is Altec saved their butts. Altec saved that whole event. It was a lot of the Altec people that were in the organizing and making it all happen at the very end because they ran into similar problems. Now, it sounds like they're having serious lack of money problems in Canada. And that's where Altec came in. They became a major sponsor. I think I heard that Altec put in $30 or $40 million. So it was a huge amount. It was a huge amount of money. It was a huge amount. So, yeah, all of them have problems. There have been ones before that they thought weren't going to make it up to the last minute. And I'm all in favor of finding a place to have the WEG, maybe one or two places. And like in the United States, you know, if we're going to do it here in this hemisphere, let's have it at Lexington and do it every other one. Let's go over to Aachen every other one and let's just leave it there. At least you have the infrastructure. You wouldn't have to worry about this every 4 years.
It does seem pretty stressful. And I mean, I don't know how fair that is, but whatever. Just get it done.
Yeah. It's something. Well, I don't know if you noticed when you were in Lexington. I'm all full of news today. We haven't done news in so long. I have all this news for you.
I'm proud of you because I just have a list.
Well, one of the farms we passed heading to the Kentucky Horse Park when we were there over the weekend was Reed Kessler's farm. And we've talked about Reed because we've had her on the show. She's an up-and-coming Olympic show jumper. And, you know, she's just been in the news a lot over the last couple of years. And she's really one of the superstars coming up here in the United States. Well, there is an opening because Christine Tauber left as president of the USEF, the United States Equestrian Federation. So there's an opening for president of the United States Equestrian Federation. And it looks like Murray Kessler, Reed's dad, has now been nominated for that position. He was past president and CEO of a tobacco company. He's retired from that. He was involved in horse sport all his life, both on the national and international level. He's been, you know, in the show jumping world for years and years and years. And of course, his daughter is. And the nominating committee consisted of Chester Weber, Mary Babick, Robert Costello. You'll recognize some of these names. And then BZ Madden, Michael Pollard was on that list. So it looks like it'll come up for a vote here in a couple of months. And we might have a new president of the Federation.
Now, does that give her any advantage?
I was wondering that myself. I doubt it. Doubt.
It's like Princess Haya doing the, you know, being what was she the president of? And then her husband is out like
FEI,
FEI, and her husband's out drugging racehorses.
Yeah. It's like the reason that she was president is there was a lot of money there. Now, would you like the loser of the week, or would you like to hear about some ancient Turkish tablets they found that explained the rules of horse racing 2,000 years ago?
I have no idea. Why don't you pick one? Because I don't even understand what you just said.
All right, let's do our loser of the week. It's pretty short.
Man, you are one pathetic loser.
And that loser of the week goes back to Canada. Actually, it doesn't go back to Canada. It goes to Hartford, Connecticut. And what happened was a guy who works at the stables where the police horses are in Hartford got himself good and liquored up one night. And decided,
as you do,
as you do when you work around horses, and he decided to go back to the stables and take one for a joyride. A horse named by the Hartford Police Department as Handsome was not injured in good spirits after they started receiving a number of 911 calls about a man in a cowboy hat riding a horse and holding up traffic in downtown Hartford. Police arrested the man after tracing him to the stables, where they found him in an intoxicated state. The horse was reportedly still wearing a saddle. He got the saddle on. I mean, that's something. He has been charged with disorderly conduct, riding an animal on a road, and failing to have lights while riding an animal. Now, I didn't know that was a rule. I knew it was a rule for bikes. I didn't know it was a rule for horses. But anyway, this is the loser of the week. Do you know they do not put the name of the guy in here in this article at all?
They usually do. And usually they'll throw the middle name in there too, like John Wayne Gacy.
Exactly.
It's some serial killer.
Nope, no name. I thought it was interesting that they didn't put the name in. But yeah, so there's our loser of the week. And now we have time while Jennifer's getting our guest.
I got a list if you want. If you want, what I don't know what you're doing here.
Well, hold up on the list because we only have a couple minutes for our guest. Jennifer's getting our guest lined up. I have a quick story here for you. This is out of Turkey, and they were doing an ancient dig in an archaeological site, and you're going to like this. They found tablets that went over, and they actually have a guy that can read these. They found stone tablets that described the ancient rules of horse racing. It may be the oldest rules of the sport ever found. The Greek inscription reveals winning horses and others trained in the winning owner's stables were banned from racing after a victory to give other competitors a chance for glory. So if you won a race, you're out. And all the horses in your barn are out. So that's how it was done. Can you imagine Bob Baffert would be pissed, wouldn't he?
Yeah.
This was a site. It was found at the site of an ancient hippodrome where the Greeks used for horse racing and chariot racing. And it was an honor. Apparently, this particular place they found was honor a Roman jockey named Lucinius. And apparently, he was one of the most famous jockeys of the time. And they wrote these tablets to have a history of how horse racing worked back then. So it's pretty cool stuff. And it's the oldest. It's 2,000 years old. And it's the oldest thing they ever found about horse racing. They found the pictures of the horses on the walls and everything, but this was actually, written text on the tablets describing what happened.
Okay, so when you're using a lot of words that I didn't understand, like, okay, I needed to visualize what a hippodrome is.
It's like a big stadium.
It's like a big
stadium.
Giant stadium.
And this one happened to be made out of, it's all made out of their version of concrete, right?
So yeah, they cut it out of stone
in the sides of they basically dig it out and it looks like a big stadium, and that's where they would do their racing. I don't know that it was.
I didn't know this existed. I want to visit this place.
I know, isn't it cool? You have to go to Turkey. So that's the only thing. You got to get to.
So once they won a race, they were banned from racing.
They were banned from racing. That was to give more people an equal opportunity.
Now that's socialism, isn't it?
Yeah, pretty much.
Equestrian socialism.
Pretty much.
Everybody gets to win, kids. Everybody. Here's a trophy.
Here's some more things about horse and chariot racing in ancient times. Chariot racing was one of the most popular events in Greek, Roman, and Byzantine sports. Both chariot mounted racing happened way back before Christ. And chariot racing was often dangerous, obviously. We all saw Ben-Hur, so we know how dangerous chariot racing was.
Well, I mean, the spikes on the wheels would cut you in half.
The races took place in a hippodrome, and most dangerous point was at the turning post because their hippodromes weren't very wide, so they had really tight turns at the end. And basically, the chariot wheels could lock together and cause many crashes. Horse riders didn't use stirrups, and saddles were often thrown off their steeds, particularly when the ground in the hippodrome was churned up, meaning they had to ride on an uneven and unpredictable surface without stirrups.
Now, this is, like, I keep thinking gladiator. Like, this is, like, times where they would use slaves to, like, hey, throw this guy on, and they didn't really care, like, what happened to people or horses.
But
it was
later dubbed the sport of kings, but it was also kind of considered that back then. So, you know, this was where they honed their skills for battle and jousting happened and all that stuff. But horse racing was really, really big back then.
You know, I think that when the world ends, humans owe just a real big apology to horses. Just a really big apology. I'm so sorry we did this to you. Here's heavenly clouds. Go gallop around and eat grass. I don't know. We've been so terrible to animals. Ugh. Sorry.
So I thought you'd like that little bit of history. I thought it was interesting.
That is interesting.
Again, all I could think of is, boy, Bob Baffert would be pissed. He won last year. That's it. You're done.
American,
all your horses are out.
There's no triple crown winner because after the first one, basically probably what they did was with those big champions that were banned from racing, they ate them.
They used them in battle. They kind of
American
their horses
Pharaoh.
Were very, they didn't quite. I don't think
delicious.
They were back then.
They just were delicious.
They were using them in battle. And they got killed there. So,
and then they ate them.
Then they ate them.
God. Oh, I'm so sorry, horses in history. I'm trying to make up.
I just
reported
the
hell
out
of these
the
guys.
Rules. I just report it.
We're
all right, let's go to our first guest.
All right. So
it's time for the Horses in the Morning Horse Health Report, when our intrepid hosts, together with an unlucky member of the equine veterinary trade, attempt to inform, enlighten, or terrify horse owners everywhere into funding a Kickstarter campaign to mass-produce Kevlar-coated, bubble-wrap-lined equine products.
And our guest from Haggard's today is Dr. Margo Edwards, and she's from California and is also an inventor of one-eyed horse. How does that work out, Dr. Edwards?
So far, it's okay. I don't think he knows he only has one eye.
How did that come into play? Did you rescue a horse from Haggard's or...
No, he actually is a horse that I bred from my event mare that I invented when I was like 12 to 18. And I bred her when I was in college. And unfortunately, he got uveitis in one eye quite badly and then got a corneal ulcer on top of it. So we had to remove the eye just because it was causing him some discomfort. So.
And so now he's out running around cross-country courses or learning or what?
Learning, yeah, he's kind of been delayed just because of his jockey knee being in school for the last 10 years. So
school and practicing and working thing gets in the way.
Yeah, working from 7 to whenever every day is sometimes impedes on your riding time. But he's a really good boy, and he does whatever's asked of him. And the one eye thing doesn't seem to affect him so far. So. Just take it one day at a time and see, you know, what he wants to do. I think he'll let me know if he's uncomfortable.
Does it affect hitting the spots for the jumps and stuff? Does it affect the depth perception with one eye or not?
honestly, I don't think we really know. There are some, there's some Grand Prix jumpers. I think Crown Course did a little segment on a horse that's doing Grand Prix in Europe. I think Frankie Terriot, she had a horse. I used to ride with her in
Chadwick,
California.
Yeah.
Her horse, Frick Frack, had a one eye, and she invented him through, I think, 3-star. And then we've got another guy at the clinic who's an inventor from Ireland, and he was telling me that his friend has a horse that's about to do 4-star with one eye. So,
wow.
I think it's horse by horse, you know? So.
Yeah, and I know that Frankie, bless her heart, she had Chatwin, her other horse, then came down with a major eye problem, and she thought she was going to have 2 one-eyed Rolex contenders, but I think they actually saved that one, now that I'm remembering correctly. There's a guy out here that runs intermediate with a one-eyed horse, so I guess, I don't know if it just changes your training tactics at all, or what. I know
it hasn't for my horse. I know some horses, they do kind of, they'll kind of turn that, the good eye towards the fence a little bit so they see it better. My horse, he hasn't started doing that. Granted, I'm not jumping very big fences. I'm pretty rusty, but he sees his spot fine. Like, I was jumping the other day and he already could tell which poles are the plastic ones. And as soon as we put the wooden poles up, he jumps really high.
That doesn't take him long, does it?
Yeah.
No, oh, this one doesn't hurt.
Yeah, he's pretty smart. He's always been, I started him myself with the help of someone else. And like, he always picked up on things pretty quick. So
that's cool.
But
that's very cool.
Now, what we're supposed to talk to you today is about common equine emergencies, kind of what to have in a first aid kit, and what are the most common emergencies that you guys see as veterinarians. So starting with the first aid kit, what are some of the things that are kind of must-haves in your tack room?
I would say definitely a thermometer. That's a must have, a digital one. You know, you can get at Walmart for pretty cheap. Stethoscope, if you're comfortable using it. And then, you know, basic bandaging supplies, like, you know, a roll of vet wrap, a roll of Elasticon, some nice big bandaging equipment, Betadine solution or Clarexidine solution, and then, you know, some cotton swabs to clean anything. Duct tape is a definite must-have for anything.
I'm writing all this down. You're going so fast.
Wait, I want to get back to the stethoscope here quick, because, you know, you can own one but not know what you're listening for.
Yeah.
Am I wrong about that? Is it just me?
You're not wrong at all. Like, if you have a kind veterinarian that wants to show you how to listen to a horse heart rate, you know, that I'm sure anyone would be willing to show you. I guess we're lucky here in Kentucky because we're so close to so many equine hospitals that the travel time isn't, you know, there's a veterinarian literally around every corner probably. But if you are stuck out somewhere where you don't have immediate access, you know, having your vet go over what to look for, I'm sure anyone would be happy.
And I guess the simplest thing to do is to get a baseline. So listen when you know your horse is healthy and doing fine, is to listen. Yeah. And then when you listen again, you can hear any changes, right? I mean, that's the simplest thing.
Yeah. And it's just counting. Like, once you know that it's a 3-beat rhythm, and you know you don't need to count all 3 of those beats, then you can get pretty good at it. But like, well, I said, the stethoscope is not a must have. I would say the thermometer is a must have. And then, you know, bandaging equipment.
How about stethoscope with the tummy issues? Now, you know, I've done that before, and I got to tell you, it all just sounds like literally garbly goop to me. But
well, garbly goop is good.
Good.
It's okay. Good, yeah.
It's complete silence is not good. So if you know how to listen to their gut sounds and you put their stethoscope on and you hear nothing, then that's a bad sign.
Let that be a lesson to our listeners. Get a stethoscope, and when your vet comes out, say, show me what to do.
Yeah.
I promise you, veterinarians want to help you help your horse. That's their job.
Yeah.
So if you have these questions, these are raising some great questions for the next time your vet comes out, guys.
And you can get them for $20 on Amazon. I mean, you know, you don't need the best in the world.
I guess that being said, if you are worried and need to listen to this with a stethoscope, definitely call your veterinarian as well as listening yourself, you know, so you can give them the information. Like my horse, I can't hear any gut sounds. I put my stethoscope on, his heart rate's really high or normal. Then your vet knows, okay, I need to go right now or, you know, or not. So,
right.
But
right.
TPR,
get that temperature, that TPR. Pulse and the respiration. And then if you can listen, the gut sounds great.
Most of pony clubbers and most eventers probably would have listened to their heart rates once, yeah. I would say, or if you have a heart rate monitor, you know the area to go on. So
then we've got, those things in our first aid kit. What are some of the more, by the way, do you need to go? You have a phone call?
No, I should have put my phone on silent.
That's okay. So as a veterinarian, being in the office, you get a phone call. My horse is this. What are some of the most common things that people call about for emergencies?
Well, the first thing would be colic, which I think Liz Barrett covered in a previous podcast. So we don't need to go over that. Lacerations, probably the second most common.
I got to stop you there. With lacerations, what's the most common way they get lacerations? Is it fencing? Is it kicked by other horses? Is there one that you see all the time?
No, there's no one laceration. Usually, like after a bad thunderstorm here, we might see like an increase, you know, a horse gets scared and runs into a fence or something like that. But there's
horses
not a more
so
common
helpful.
Laceration.
They're so helpful.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's the lacerations, the seriousness of a laceration depends on the location. So that's an important, you know, description you need to call your veterinarian to describe where it is on the body, you know, how deep it is, if there's anything draining out, if it's near a joint, that's probably the most life-threatening concern. So tendon sheaths or joints, you know, over the hock, dorsal fetlock area can be really tricky to fix because if it's in the joint, that's not good. And also it's a high motion area, so it heals a little slower. Over the carpus, so the knee, again, over a joint, and then also moves a lot. You know, tendon sheath, like horses, you know, get stuck in if they have bad fencing or there's some wire, lacerates, you know, above their heel bulb, and that's where, you know, the tendon sheath lies, and that can be have some serious implications if it's not seen right away. So,
gotcha. So you were saying we've got colic, lacerations. What are some other ones?
Eye. So any eyes. Eye, anything with an eye is an emergency almost. Eyelid lacerations, uveitis, or ulcers. So if you see your horse, you know, has some excessive tearing or he doesn't want to open his eye as much, you know, it's shut. If the pupil's really constricted and looks different than the other one, if it's cloudy at all or a different color, and any sort of trauma, eyelid lacerations are really tricky sometimes to fix. And then if the eyelashes are irritating the surface, the cornea of the eye, then that can cause a corneal ulcer as well. So
let's repeat that. Anything with the eye is an emergency. That is just call the vet. It's an eyeball. You're not going to fix it. Yeah, you wait it out.
Yeah, and it any time, you know, even if you just have a question, they can say, they might say, no, I'll see it tomorrow. Or yes, this needs to be seen tonight. You know, that's something you should let your veterinarian decide as far as emergency. Cause sometimes things can wait till tomorrow, but oftentimes they can't. So giving them good information, pictures are great. Like iPhones have done miracles. You know, you can snap a picture and text your vet and they can say, I'll be there like as soon as possible, you know.
And you never want to hear that. You never want to. I can come tomorrow. That's fine. Oh, man.
Yeah.
Okay. So we've got colic, lacerations, eyeballs. What else do you see a lot on emergency?
What else? Like choke. I don't know if you guys have experienced choke before. Gosh. You know. Yeah. So
oh, it's awful.
Choking.
There's not. I don't know why I think that's one of the worst things to see a horse go through.
It is. It's terrible.
It's just, I think I partly because it's so dramatic, right? I mean, colic can be very subtle, and it, in most cases, they just want to lay down and roll, whatever, but choke is just, ugh.
I would say probably a fractured leg is the most dramatic thing I see, or we get really violent colics, but choking is just, it's kind of a pain, you know, like, why did you choke? Like, the horse is really uncomfortable. You're trying to, you sedate them. You try to pass the tube. Every time you get near the obstruction, they get more uncomfortable, you know, and it can be difficult. I guess the thing about choke is, you know, remove the feed, remove the water. If they're in like straw, you know, get them to like a dry pen where they're not going to try to eat anything, and then call your vet and see.
So,
and you
know, you just let them keep coughing and choking, and just
No. So that's when it first starts, and you just need to call your vet. So okay. Like take the food and water away, put them in a stall, and give your vet a call, and then we can come out, sedate, pass a tube, etc. So that's the first kind of steps, the triage. You know, if because horse owners are the first ones to see the emergency most of the time, you know, so you guys are the most important part of getting things fixed often.
So should you try, and I've seen this before, so should you try and like rub their neck and get it out yourself, or does that make it worse?
No, you know, just being in like a quiet environment where they're not trying to eat anything, the most serious implication of letting a choke go too long is aspiration pneumonia. Because if they get any food down and it doesn't go past their obstruction, it can go into their lungs. And that can cause some, you know, you don't want pneumonia. You don't want your horse to get pneumonia. So I would call a tube needs to be passed. The horse needs to be sedated and the tube needs to pass and make sure that they're not obstructed. And then usually we withhold feed, you know, to make sure that all the inflammation is down in the esophagus, and give them some anti-inflammatories and sometimes antibiotics, depending on how severe the choke is.
So in I've been a vet tech for several years, and one of the more common calls that we got was, my horse's leg is broken. It's broken. All of a sudden he can't walk. And of course you think you rush out there, but what is it usually?
It's usually a hoof abscess.
Yeah. It's an abscess. We're like, okay, you know, he just like he's walking around, but he's limping, it's broken. And that seems to always typically be an abscess. So I'm assuming you guys see a lot of those, especially in Kentucky where you get lots of rain.
It's nice and moist. We also see if they do have an abscess that's like lingered on and on, they can get sequestrums, and those can be painful as well. So if they're not getting better, or they've been lame for a while, you know, taking an X-ray and looking at the what we call the solar margin of the distal phalanx or the coffin bone, and just making sure there's no piece of bone that's been eaten away by bacteria and caused a dead piece of bone in there. But
well. Yeah. I think
hoof abscesses are serious, or something that we see. Yeah, often too many here. But
yeah, I'm sure. Well, now that you've given us tons of things to worry about and be scared about, thank you. I'm like, I need to go check my horse's eyeballs right now. Looking out back.
Right now, every day.
Dr. Edwards, thank you so much. And by the way, congratulations on passing your board exams, your surgery board exams. That is a really big deal, as she knows, but everybody knows. So this is like a super, this is a big brain we're talking to. So thank you.
It feels pretty small most of the time. There's still lots to learn. But
well, congratulations on that. And thank you for joining us. Haggard.com, HAGYARD.com. If you guys want to get in touch with them, find out any more. Dr. Edwards, thank you for coming on. And we will talk to you or somebody from Haggard again next week.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
And good luck with the one-eyed wonder. We're going to be watching for you, okay?
See you, Rolex.
Well, I'm moving to Australia, so you might have to go to Australia.
Big show? Adelaide. Yeah, we'll be happy
Adelaide.
To see you there.
Go to Adelaide.
All right, good luck.
Well, good luck.
All right, bye.
Moving to Australia, that's a pretty good deal.
I know. I wish we had more time.
I don't want to know about that now. So we didn't lead with the lead there.
I didn't know. You don't randomly say, hey, are you moving to Australia?
Australia, yeah. Are you moving anytime soon? Well, let's hear a little bit more about Haggard, and then I have our song of the day. We're coming back, hopefully with Victoria. I hope. And then we also have Debbie Metcalf from Net Posse stopping by yet today, too. So a lot going on. We'll be right back.
Haggard Equine Medical Institute in Lexington, Kentucky and Wellington, Florida has been treating racehorses, sport horses, and beloved pasture ornaments for 140 years. With some 30 ambulatory doctors, 24-hour emergency care, full surgical suite, dedicated sport horse facility, wide range of proven therapies, and full-service pharmacy, Haggard offers everything your horse needs for the proper diagnosis and best treatment. Visit Haggard.com for more information, or you can call them at 859-255-8741. Follow Haggard Equine Medical Institute on Facebook or on Twitter, at Haggard, and receive health alerts and the latest information on keeping your horse healthy and happy.
Templeton Thompson with Let It Rain. You can find all her music at templetonthompson.com. You're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network, and we are here 5 days a week, Monday through Friday, and Jamie and I will be here the next couple of days as well, talking Derby.
You're going to get sick of me.
But I will say this. We had, and I know a lot of people don't listen to Tuesdays and Thursdays, or they have certain days a week they listen to. So if you missed it, if you have an iPhone, there's updates going out right now for the Horse Radio Network app. And the changes are the new show, the Rodeo Marketing Show, is on there. But also there's a live button down at the bottom that allows you to listen to our show live for the first time on the app. So
that's so cool.
And we tested it yesterday and a whole bunch of the auditors listened and they said actually the sound was better. So
do I have to update my app?
Yes,
then
you have to. Okay. And it's available on iPhones, not on Android yet. It should be on Android within the next week or so. So
iPhones are better.
It's been submitted to Android and the same thing will be available on Android. We'll have the live and then the new show as well. So we're very excited about that. And
did you quit getting in trouble? Did you get in trouble for saying that your app designer has a small brain?
Did you hear what that his wife listens?
Are you serious?
I didn't know that. And I got an email from her. And she said, I just want to introduce myself. I am so-and-so's wife. And I listen every day and I love this show. And she thought it was very funny. And I said,
Glenn, I think we need full disclosure here. He really is like a rocket scientist.
She thought it was very funny,
right?
Because he's like his real job is like a rocket scientist. I mean, he's like a super brain. So it was kind of funny that it all worked out that way. And she thought it was funny that one of the smartest people she knows we called kind of mediocre. And you encouraged me. It was all your fault.
Actually, you were like, I said, he's got a really big brain. You're like, well, he's kind of got a like medium to small brain.
No, I didn't say that. I just said that he was kind of a medium, because he doesn't do the apps full time. But, he's...
Just keep going.
He's a cool guy, and he does
it for us. You're digging the hole deeper, Glenn. Put down the shovel.
I'm happy.
It's like you just said he's really nice.
No, you brought it up.
She's not pretty, but she's really nice. You're like, he's a good guy.
She has great personality.
It's a great personality. Wow. So sweet.
Sorry, Nick. We love you. Nick does a good job on our app. Our app
Nick
works
is
good.
Like, I quit.
The rate just doubled. And we're very happy. I didn't know Nick's wife listened, so I'm thrilled that she listens too. And that just goes to show you never know who's listening to the show.
Yep.
You never know. All right, speaking about listening to the show, would you like, while I'm getting Victoria on, to do your list quick?
I do. Let me find it here. Okay, so this is just I thought it was kind of interesting, list of 6 bad habits to avoid with your horse as far as training aspects goes. Now, I'm not going to get into how to fix all of them because I'm not that smart. If I was, my horses would all be perfect.
They'll be trained.
They'll be trained. But these are just some of the kind of telltale behavior things that you will look for in, and if you board at a boarding stable, oh my God, you see everybody having to deal with all of these things and you wonder how these people are still safe. Number one is allowing your horse to pull you around to get grass, hay, grain, etc. Yeah, that happens in my world, but I think it's only fair. We don't have great grass. So if they see a patch, they're like, we need to run to that. But that is definitely a bad habit. Allowing your horse to move or dance or paw or carry on while you're grooming or saddling them. A couple things that could be typically is they're, like Edward would always dance and move around when his buddies left him and went to the arena and he was by himself. Or Joey hated being groomed because he's a sensitive thoroughbred chestnut redhead. So he always wiggles around when you groom him. So it could be discomfort. It could be behavior. So you need to figure out why your horse moves around when you go to saddle him. Does their back hurt? So pay attention to that. And if it's not something that's painful, you need to fix it. And the way that I would fix that is back him up. My answer to everything is back him up. Because they hate backing up. That's your punishment. Number 3, I'm still working on this with Thor. And if anybody has any advice, let me know. From day one, he has not been super happy to take the bridle. And this is number 3 is fighting with your horse to take the bridle. I don't fight with him because it takes 2 to fight. I just stand there patiently with my bridle and go, okay, you can't have your head up for forever.
Do you know how we solved the problem with Scooter? He was the same way?
I would love to know.
Bit butter. Have you tried bit butter?
Oh, I'm not going to bribe my horse to take the bit.
It's just this little goofy stuff you put on the bit, and then after a while, you don't have to put it on anymore.
Really?
It works. It's just this little tub of stuff, and you just rub a little bit on the bit, and then they like the bit.
Do you like squeeze it like a toothpaste tube?
No, it's just it's a little tube. Then you just take a little bit in your finger, and you put it on the bit, and yeah, they love it.
Interesting. I'll have to look into that I just stand there and I'm like, okay.
It's like this little goopy stuff. It looks like Vaseline almost, but it must taste good because now Scooter likes the bit.
Okay. So you don't have to do it every time.
No, but I do it every once in a while just to remind him of why he likes the bit.
Okay. So, that's interesting. I'll have to look into
bit
that.
Bit butter, it's called. Any tack shop.
I started, like, of course, being the complicated person. I'm like, okay, I'm going to teach you how to drop your head. So we've been working on, like,
well, that's good too. Learning
to drop your head. But I like your method. It seems a lot quicker. Here's food.
Well, after they drop their head, then at least they'll take the bit. So.
Yeah, that's a good point. That's a good point. This one I have addressed wholesale head on. And if you haven't seen the Thor the Mustang and Zeus the Mustang Facebook page, you notice that I taught Zeus how to stand on at the mounting block. Number four here on the list is moving around or walking off during mounting. Yes, that has been a constant problem with Thor would just bolt. Zeus, he just kind of was antsy at the mounting block, and so I taught him. He's not perfect yet, but he's pretty smart. He figured it out pretty quick. If you want to learn how to get your horse to come to the mounting block and stand perfectly still in front of you, go to MontyRobertsUniversity.com. It's so easy. Oh, my gosh. Little plug. Number five, rubbing or scratching their head on you. But they itch and they have they want to rub their eyes and it just seems only nice of you. Apparently, it's really rude and dangerous behavior.
They throw their head up and I can't tell how many glasses I've broken.
No, it's a terrible bad habit. And I got jabbed one time because my old thoroughbred decided I was a rubbing, scratching post and I was like 15 and I didn't care. And he was wearing a full cheek snaffle and it just jabbed me, caught me under the ribs. So I don't really let them do it. I get a towel and wipe their eyes at the end of the day or their face at the end of the ride. But you can certainly, it says, take a brush or towel, rub their head or body. Also, I just read an article on a side note that if your horse rubs their head a lot after you take the bridle off and they just go crazy rubbing, that you may have to look at some nerve pinching behaviors. As far as with the bridle may be sitting on some nerves. So I'm excited to figure that out. Number six is the epically worst thing a horse can do. And it's a mouthy behavior, allowing your horse to mouth on your clothes, hands, ears, neck, blah, anything that your horse opens their mouth. Zeus bit my ponytail last night, literally grabbed my ponytail and while I had my back to him and pulled it. He didn't go to eat it too bad. But it got kind of ugly and I was like, okay, we're going to have to fix that. So rubbing their head, allowing mouth behavior, pretty much any of those fun things.
This is every one of these Nigel has. Jennifer's new horse has every one of these.
Are you serious?
Everyone.
He just needs training.
He was turned out in the field for 2 years, so not touched. So that's why I think he
now,
has everyone.
Admittedly, he does all of them slowly. He's like permanently in slow motion, but he does them all. Yeah, pretty much.
So he dances, but it's like in slow mo. Like he slowly dances.
Yeah.
And
Tigger.
It's more of a waltz. Yeah, it's not a quick step.
Yeah, take Tigger and make him the opposite. What was the Eeyore. Eeyore. He's more like Eeyore. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. He's more like Eeyore.
Yeah. It's kind of got the Eeyore thing going. What is going on there, Jamie?
Well, we've got all sorts of drama. There's actually the girl that boards here is here to ride her horse. So, I mean, come on. There's a human on the property.
On the property. Let's bark and carry on. Well, we have a human on the property, and that is Victoria from Horse and Country TV. Welcome back, Victoria.
Thank you. A human on the property. That is what I've aspired to be all my life.
Well, at least my dogs aren't barking at you.
I hope not, unless they have really good hearing.
Well, Victoria, it's been a couple of weeks. Welcome back.
Thank you. I've been away doing various things. We had a race meeting here at Epsom, so I went there for the first flat meeting of the season. And then I've been off filming a new television show with the channel. So that was really good. So I've just spent 4 days.
Are you the star? Are you the celebrity?
Thankfully not, but it was my idea. So if it's a great success, then I want all the credit. And if it's a disaster, I had nothing to do with it. And, but actually, no, we picked 8 riders of different levels and sent them for like 3.5 days of intensive training with a lady called Pammy Hutton, who's a British dressage stalwart. She's been on loads of teams and various other celebrity riders, including Carl Hester. That was good. And so they had this kind of competition. They had to do stable management tasks and riding tasks and media modules and things. So we've now wrapped the filming and we've got 6 weeks of editing time, and then it will premiere in mid-June, and I'm really excited about it. I think it's going to be great. It's a bit like Big Brother and The Apprentice meets the horse world.
Look at you, reality show pitch man.
Exactly. Now, but it should be cool, so I'm excited.
That's going to be very cool. Now, about Carl Hester, I saw that he was in the news. What happened with Utopia?
Well, Utopia was his London 2012 horse, but from around the time that he won, there was a bit of an ownership dispute, and he had a share in it, but somebody else had been put down as the owner, and then that person went bankrupt, and the horse has actually been sort of received as part of the bankruptcy deal, and Carl's been kind of battling this thing, saying that he owns him, and et cetera, but they've said no, and now Utopia is being put up for auction by the people who are like in charge of the bankruptcy estate. So just two.
That's insane. They're just going to a bank auctioning off a horse.
Good yes, Lord. Exactly. Not even at like a horse auction, just a kind of public auction alongside kind of other valuable material.
So they're going to sell the couch and the horse side by side.
Exactly. And so, so they released a press release going, isn't this exciting? We've got this horse up for auction. And then a little while later, we got a statement from British Dressage on behalf of Carl Hester saying it was disgraceful that, you know, Utopia is 15 now. He needs veterinary attention. He's part of the family. He doesn't owe anybody anything. He's an Olympic gold medalist, and that he was going to do his best to keep him. So apparently now Carl thinks he's secured the funding to buy him when he goes up for auction. And I'm sure he knows more of the ins and outs than we all do. But I just hope there isn't some kind of budding Olympian who thinks, oh, I'll just buy him, and he ends up being taken away from Carl at this stage of his career.
Wow. So is he retired and just breeding at 15, or is he, what's going on?
Charlotte's been riding him, and I'm not entirely sure why, whether I think Carl kind of said, this is it with Utopia. And he kind of said his farewells, and he thought he was going to be sold well before all this happened. And then he kind of didn't, he stayed. And then Charlotte Dujardin started riding him instead. So I don't know whether it's that or Carl, I think, can get quite a bad back. So maybe that's why he didn't ride Filegro. He's a very strong horse. And so Charlotte got the ride on him. So I don't know if it's something to do with that. But Charlotte's been out this season, done a few World Cup qualifiers with Utopia. So he's still doing well, but he's not a real contender anymore.
So fans were actually, I read, trying to basically start GoFundMe accounts, Glenn, to make money to help Carl buy the horse. And they were like, just no, we don't need your money. We're cool. We have owners. Like, stop donating money. But like, one already got £1,000 or $1,500 keep Utopia home with Carl Hester. And you don't know where that money goes. Like, people stop.
Yeah, no, exactly. It's not ideal. I hope everybody gets a refund, or else the people in charge donate it to charity or something. But yeah, I don't think Carl would want lots of people claiming a small share on Utopia. So it's probably best that he does it all himself.
Yeah. Now, Enough about dressage. Yeah. Let's head over to the sport of eventing. Oh my God, this is going to be the most exciting badminton yet.
Yeah, and I want to let you know, Michael Young's except taking all of our money. We're sending him over to take yours.
So. I just, like, if I could bet on what will happen, I would bet a lot of money on Michael Young winning the Rolex Grand Slam, because, you know, three of the big names are out now, with Pippa Funnell, Andrew Nicholson and William Potts Pitt all out of contention. And there's some past winners in there, and, you know, there's some very good combinations, but it has slightly paved the way for Michael Young, and he's on his most experienced horse. And I genuinely do think they're going to have to start five-star eventing just for Michael Young, and he can just go and compete on his own and leave four-star for the mere mortals who can keep things at that level. He is insanely good. To win Kentucky by 13.3 penalties, that is quite incredible.
Yeah. And so, okay, Glenn, we're going to say it from now on. We're going to say it just like Victoria did. Michael Young.
I used to call him Michael Young. And then he came across to Blair for the Europeans last summer, and he's Michael. So
Change his name.
Should have spelled it Michael and not Michael.
Yes, it's very confusing. Yeah.
Darn Germans taking our language and twisting it around. Michael Young. Okay. I just don't see anybody getting close to him. Nobody could get close at Kentucky, then.
Exactly. And like, and last, I think he came in 2013 to badminton, and William Fox Pitt was up there in the dressage. But at the moment, I don't think there's anybody that can rival his score. And Ingrid Klimke, who's also a very good dressage rider, she's not coming. So all the big guns. And if he gets a 10 penalty lead, and then obviously the weather is good, so the cross country isn't going to be as critical, I don't think, as a couple of years ago when we had bad weather and it sent all the results haywire. So if he gets that lead in dressage and manages to complete the cross country on his ultra experienced world, European and Olympic champion horse, I think he's going to be home and hosed. But you never know. He was in the lead three years ago. Yeah, home and hosed. Do you not say that? Is that a British saying?
That's a British thing, but it's mine now.
I don't really know what it means.
I was going to ask what it means. I'm not sure.
It means basically home and hosed off. They got him back in the barn already hosed off before anybody else is even thinking about it.
Got it. I thought. Yeah. That makes more sense than the meaning I had.
Yes, it does sound a bit wrong. Now I'm trying to find this out where it came from. But I think apparently it's Australian slang or something.
Well, now he's running two horses, right, in this one? He's got two in this one?
Mika's only got one. So, okay. He's just bringing Sam. I don't know if he entered two.
But the good horse is running a badminton, and we had the B string, and he did that with the B string?
Yeah, but he won the Europeans in 2013, I think, on that horse that won Kentucky. And it was an 8-year-old at the time. And he's like, oh, yeah, he's eight, but she'll be fine. She'll win. And she won the Europeans then, and then obviously has won Kentucky. He's just, I looked up his eventing record on the FEI. And first of all, I got a mix of show jumping and eventing. And so there were some mixed results. And then I put it eventing only. And he has got so many ones next to his name. And when you think how hard it is to win a 2, 3, or 4-star event, it really is quite remarkable.
That is, absolutely incredible. Sorry, I was looking up home and hosed, and I was actually right. It basically means that you're home, the animals have been hosed off, they're back in their box, and everything's good.
Well, like home and dry.
I'm glad to hear it wasn't my meaning, because...
We can't talk about that one on the air.
No, possibly not. But I'm excited to see Michael and how he gets on. But also, I'm a little bit anxious that he's going to win the Rolex Grand Slam and then not be uber excited.
And how much money is that?
I think it's $350,000.
And all he has to do is win badminton, and then he's in, or one more after that?
Badminton's it. So it's three in quick succession. So he won Burley and he won Kentucky.
Okay. Let's do something here, Victoria. I'm going to be you, or I'm going to be the reporter, and you be Michael Young, okay? Michael, you just won the Rolex Grand Slam. How do you feel?
Yes, it was good. I felt good. My horse gave me a good feeling. It was good. I hope he's not listening to this.
That's how he was. That is how he was in every press conference every night in Kentucky.
He was. My favorite story from badminton that year, that he led from the start. And every day he'd be like, yes, my horse was good. He gave me a good feeling. It was nice. I'm happy. And then on the very last day, he had to jump clear to win. And he was almost there. He almost got it. And then he knocked the last fence down and Jock Padgett won instead. And at the press conference afterwards, he just shrugged and went, yeah, my horse felt good. And these things happen. I wanted him to be like, no! And like start arm wrestling Jock Padgett or something. But no, he was very laid. He's just very laid back and nice and smiling. And he doesn't go for drama or tension or anything.
I watched him do a signature signing at Rolex, and he's good at that. I mean, he's kind of inviting, you know, even though he doesn't say much. I think he hates press conferences, but you know, he doesn't say much and hates interviews, but he's pretty good with the fans.
Little met him at the signing, and she just came back absolutely in love. So he was very, very sweet to her. So I mean, you know, just a random fan standing in line. They made her feel good. So he must be good at that. Must be
exactly.
A nice guy.
And it's hard doing press conferences when you're talking in your second language. So I wonder if when he's talking in German to his German reporters, he's much better and more chatty. But it must be hard to know what to say and to remember
and
lots of different phrases.
Let's face it, and you know as well as I do, you run a press office. Sometimes the reporters ask the stupidest darn questions at press conferences.
They really do. I have a thing though that everybody now goes down to the mix zone and gets people as they're coming out, and I don't tend to do that because I'm tending to do the overall view of the day, and it's not that useful for me to know how somebody did at 10 in the morning when they're now like in 15th position. I kind of want to know how the winners are doing. Now all the journalists go to the mix zone, and then afterwards, and this doesn't happen at Hicks because we don't have a mix zone, but at badminton and at the championships, then you get to the press conference and you get all the leaders up on stage and nobody has any questions because they've all asked them earlier on at the mix zone. So,
what are they going to say? I feel terrible about being in first place. I just feel awful. I've never heard anybody say that. So,
I want them to mix it up a bit. Sometimes the most interesting part of press conferences is when you have things like William Potts Pitt and Andrew Nicholson, and they sit on opposite sides of the stage and kind of nod to acknowledge each other. I mean, that's the kind of stuff you don't get to see when you interview them one on one.
That is why you are creating reality shows for your channels, because you love that kind of drama.
I do. I love the drama. I can't.
Is this show titled The Housewife, The House, Horsewomen of London, or what's the title?
Well, we had two men, so I think they would have been slightly confused by that title. So it was called The All Star Academy, and it was sponsored by Blue Chip Feeds. I don't know if you guys have Blue Chip over there, but they were our title sponsors. So the Blue Chip All-Star Academy. I just had to explain that there in case it sounds like Blue Chip is in business kind of leaders and we are getting a bit apprenticey. But so All-Star Academy coming soon.
Well, Victoria, thank you so much for joining us. We've run out of time, but we want to let you get home and hosed before you got to go. See what I did there?
Very good. I'm not home and hosed. I've got a million things to do before badminton. I've got to pack all my stuff. So this could be a late night.
Jamie's going to be using that with everybody she knows, and she'll have to explain it every time.
Yes, yeah. She will.
Bring that to America. That Gail Young.
And even worse, one final thing. I've got a wedding on Sunday, and I can't tell whether it's best that I'm missing show jumping day and who's going to win to go to a wedding, or at least I got out of missing cross country day, which is obviously the most exciting day. But who gets married on badminton weekend?
Oh, just, my gosh.
It's very thoughtless.
It is thoughtless. Obviously a non-horse person.
Exactly.
My dad, one of his marriages, he got married on Rolex weekend, and I wore black to the wedding. I was so for many reasons, but that was one of them.
Thank you, Victoria. All right, Victoria,
thank you. Very welcome. I'll talk to you soon.
Horseandcountry.tv is where you can find Victoria and all the fun stuff that's happening over there and her new show eventually here. We're excited to, well, we won't be able to see it, but.
All you Brits listening, enjoy that.
or Australians, or, you know, if you live anywhere but the United States, you'll be able to see it. Because our arcane rules over here for cable companies makes it impossible to get Horse and Country TV.
Why don't you introduce
I did my weekly vent about that. Now we're going to move on. One of our good friends, we've been talking to her on the shows here at the Horse Radio Network for almost 9 years now, is Debbie Metcalf of Net Posse. Hey, Debbie.
Hey, guys. How you doing this morning?
Good. Thank you so much for joining us again. Of course, it's Stolen Horse International and Net Posse, all kind of the same thing. And we've highlighted and helped find horses over the years that have come up missing. And she does terrific work. But unfortunately, all of that terrific work requires money. It requires money to keep it going. And I know Debbie has worked at this for years without making any money. And we like to every once in a while support the things that she's doing over there to fundraise to keep it all going. And for those that don't know, for the two people out there hiding under a rock that don't know, Net Posse is the website that you go to when, or the place you turn to, Debbie, when your horse has turned up missing for whatever reason, either stolen or just turned up missing. And Debbie will help you get the word out and basically does the Amber Alert for horses. That's what I kind of correlate it to, Debbie. Is that a good correlation?
Yeah, I think that's a really good correlation.
Can we come up with a different color and call it like the chestnut alert? We'll come up with a good name for it. But you do that, and it does it very well and has had great success doing it. But you do have something going on right now that's a little bit of a way that we can all pay back, right?
Yes, that would be very much appreciated. Right now, we have a t-shirt fundraiser going on. You know, these companies that make the t-shirts and we don't have to have them in stock. We're actually trying that. And the reason we're doing it, of course, is we're trying to raise money. This year, we launched a new mobile ready website, which has been a huge headache, by the way. But we're working through it. And now our website can be seen on any type of media. But when you change those things and your website's already so big that GoDaddy can't house it anymore, then you have to go on your own server. And when you go on your own server, that costs a lot of money. Mm-hmm. So all of this to house our victim services and all the educational outreach programs that we have on the website for people before they become get in trouble, it's costing us a ton of money now. So we've had to be more creative at how to pay the bills and keep our programs going. So this shirt, it does two things. It helps us do that, to continue our programs and to continue helping the victims and the horse owners. But the horse on the front depicted is Idaho. And for those who don't know.
Yeah, tell them about your horse. Yeah.
Idaho is the horse that was stolen from us. In 1997, she was the first stolen horse alert on the internet. Little did we know how that was going to change our lives, but it took us 51 weeks to find Idaho. And in that 51 weeks, we learned all kinds of lessons, one of which, if you want to recover your horse, you better have some type of ID. Because we almost didn't get her back. If it hadn't been for the stacks of newspapers and magazines that had covered our story that year, we would have never gotten her back. But she's still here. She's 31 years old, turned 31 years old in March. We've had her since she was 3. But she's not doing too well. She has cancer. And, you know, we've been on watch for this now for 3 years. But, you know, cancer does have a way of debilitating a horse, and we're at the point where every day we're looking at her and going, will there be a tomorrow? And so this shirt honors her as well and her contributions to helping other horses. And a lot of people don't know this, but she was named a legacy horse by Equus Magazine this year, which to me was one of the biggest honors.
Congratulations.
She deserves that.
I mean, she is, I'm looking at her right now out the window. And some of the people that work with us wanted to honor her, because if it hadn't have been her, there, literally thousands of horses wouldn't have been saved.
There are two very selfless people that I know in the horse world, and that's Lindsay White of Riders for Helmets, who has put a lot of time and a lot of money into helping save lives, and you, who has put a lot of your own money and a ton of your own time over the last how many years now to help save horses and to bring people back to their partners. So, I cannot think of a better thing to do. The t-shirts are available. We'll put a link on our Facebook page and also in our show notes, but they can go to your website too, right?
Yes, I can. We have a little write-up on the website that's got a good picture of the shirt, and we tried to make it a little bit generic, so that it says every horse counts, and anybody that has a horse and loves a horse knows that their horse counts. So we tried to make it so it would be something that even if you didn't think horses were stolen, like a lot of people still don't, or go missing, that you'd still like to have the shirt because your horse counts.
It seems like, and I could be wrong about this, it's just we see every news story that comes through every day about a horse. It seems like we had more stolen horses last year than I remember before.
There has been a ton of stolen horses. We don't get every single one of them because we do require people to basically apply to be on our website, meaning they have to fill out a form. They have to give us full details. And if the horse is reported stolen, then we verify that with law enforcement. We don't just send along and pass along things without trying our best to verify it. Are we fooled sometimes? Of course we are. So are the police. But we do everything that we can to make sure that the information that we're sending out is 100% right.
All right. Very good. Well,
reiterate the fact that we have had tons of stolen horses come through, especially in the state of Texas, and we've got one today that came in from Oklahoma.
If those people, everybody you've helped, would just donate money, I mean, just the people that you've helped are just in the hundreds and hundreds. If everybody gave you, some money to, they should all pay you to thank you. You need to send out a mass email, be like, you people owe me. Give me some money.
Well, one of the other options is to pick up one of the t-shirts, and she's right. It is kind of generic, and it just looks like a pretty horse on a t-shirt that says every horse counts. They have the ladies' version, long sleeve sweatshirts, the whole thing. You're starting at $17, $18. This is not a lot of money, but you've raised $520. Let's see if we can get that up today. We'll put a link to it on our Facebook page and on our show notes over on Horses in the Morning as well. Thank you, Debbie, for joining us. We appreciate it. And thank you for what you do for horses and people.
Okay, can I ask you one more question? I know I have an accent, or so I'm told. Did you understand that last lady?
Victoria?
Oh. we have her on. Victoria. We've had her on every week for 5 years. And so, we've gotten to understand her now. She's Scottish, so... She has the Scottish, English, British accent going.
You know what? You sound like my dad right now.
Beautiful accent.
It is pretty. Yeah.
I said, you sound like my dad. He's Southern. He can't understand anything anybody says. And I'm like, nobody can understand you.
Oh, your dad is so thick. Oh, your dad has the thickest Southern accent
ever. He's like,
ever.
What did that guy say? And I'm like, listen, nobody knows what the hell you're saying. Leave him alone.
Thank you, Debbie.
Well, I just loved her accent.
It is pretty.
Hey, thank you, guys.
All right.
All right.
Take care.
Bye. Send those people emails, Debbie. Tell them, give you damn money and tell them I said to do it.
Okay. I'll send them this recording too and tell them you said to.
Jamie, I'll help you write it.
Exactly. I'll come shake them down.
And that phone ringing is another victim calling.
All right. We'll let you go, Debbie. Bye.
Bye.
All right.
I meant it. There are two people that we know that have been selfless about things that, you know, just trying to help people and horses. So
yeah.
Those two have really given a lot. And
you know who else gives a lot that doesn't make a lot of money?
Yeah.
You and your wife. So thank you for that. I know you guys work really hard at this.
I have a t-shirt you can buy.
Yeah, we need to start fundraising for Glenn. Glenn the Geek, just trying to feed the new horse that my wife
we pay
bought.
The bills. We do all right. We have this nice little spot of heaven here in Florida. We have our two horses. You know, we don't want for much. There are times I want retail therapy and I go to the store and I go, I just don't need anything. I'm just one of those. We're both one of those people who just don't need a lot, you know?
Drive your pony.
After the weekend and the time we had on Sunday trying to get that damn show out, I'm buying all new road equipment. I can tell you that.
Yeah.
We had a little bit of an issue with our road equipment. But you know what? It's electronics. I've been using it for 9 years on the road, on airplanes, and crashing and banging around Rolex. I think it's time for it. New road equipment. So we're starting
now,
a GoFundMe account.
$350, so you don't have to tell your wife.
It is. So I'm good. Yeah, I'm good. Yeah, I'll be fine.
All right. With that, I think we should go.
Yeah, tomorrow, tune in special on Thursday with Jamie
even
here.
Got, like, Derby history
Derby
facts
in
for you.
History.
I'm so excited.
It should be a lot of fun. Thanks, everybody.
Spay, neuter, geld.